Hello everyone and welcome to Hashtag Team Early Childhood Podcast. This week I have two special guests joining me. They are the well-known Mr. and Mrs. Paintpots, David and Anna. Hello both.
Hi. Hiya.
Hello Aaron.
How are you?
We're very good, thank you.
Anna, you okay?
Yeah, I'm alive.
Great. So the way that these podcasts work is basically I've got six questions that everyone knows that we've kind of worked on before. The sixth question, everyone gets asked the same question. So that's the only thing that everyone knows will happen. Could you both just introduce yourselves and tell us a bit about yourself?
So I'm David and I'm a Johnny come lately.
And I'm Anna and I'm a bit long in the tooth.
No, that's not true. That's not true at all. So we all know you as Mr. and Mrs. Paintpots, don't we? More so David, because David leaves you behind, Anna, doesn't he? While he goes across the world and does all these lovely things.
Someone's got to do the work.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Someone has to do the work.
It's only because I spent half of my life on Twitter.
So tell us a bit about yourselves. Where did it all begin? Tell us a bit about Paintpots and yourselves.
So Paintpots was masterminded by Anna. She's the brains and the beauty behind the organisation. And Anna trained originally as an NNEB, and she always tells me that that was a proper qualification.
Yeah, I hear all the time, yeah.
And we got married and came back to Southampton from London. And at that time, there wasn't any real childcare available in terms of career opportunities in Southampton. So we had our family, and Anna was at home with our children, and she invited her friends round. And what she found was that they would tend to congregate in the kitchen, have coffee, and she would be the one looking after the children in the other room. Over time, that grew into, we'll pay you to look after our children while we go shopping. And then she registered with social services in those days, and it became a registered preschool in our home.
Okay.
I think, David, you've missed out the bit right in the beginning of why it started, which was slightly before that. My mum used to say that when I was three, I used to say I wanted 100 babies. And right. I suppose, in a way, that sort of happened, hasn't it? And because of things that have happened in our personal life, children and childcare has become more of a focus than it might for some. Would you say that?
Yes.
So I'll shorten it so that I don't cry, basically. So our first son was born and very sadly died when he was 8 months old. And then there were many years of us trying to have children where it didn't happen. We had triplets, and very sadly one of them died when he was 2 days old. Now, I'm not saying that for anybody to feel sorry for us, but just so that you realise that we don't take family and children as something to be taken for granted. So fast forward, when the two children we did have got to three or four, that's when I was in the kitchen looking after everybody's children.
Right, right.
Yeah, absolutely. And Paintpots grew out of that personal background, personal history, and the name Paintpots symbolises all of the potential that's within one child. So you can open a pot of paint and out of it you can paint a picture, and each picture will be unique. And it talks to those things that underlie the EYFS in terms of, you know, what we can do with a child and support them to become the best version of themselves.
Yeah.
Can I just say, I mean, I was very lucky, you know, David, I'm one of the lucky ones that has been down to see you and visit Paintpots. And I always remember Anna upstairs, you know, I think you were in a meeting, Anna, with the local authority, I think it was at the time. And I was the one that was being shown around all the nurseries. And I have to say, the first impression that I got from was about a real, and it sounds really cliche, but it was like being part of a family. As soon as I walked through that door, everybody just, it was like you were coming into someone's home, if that makes sense. Yeah. Everyone was just so happy. And, you know, and I didn't know anybody, did I, David? You know, it was the first time I ever walked into your nursery. But would you say that that's something that you've really very much held on to as owners of Paint Pots? That would you agree?
Yeah, that, we like to foster that family feel. It doesn't mean we get it right every day in every way, but definitely when any of our team interview somebody, they always say to us, oh, you'll like this one, she's a Paint Pots person. And we know what that means, and they know what that means. And it is something about being part of an extended family. And really, we are mummy and daddy to a lot of our team. granny and granddad now.
Yeah.
But it is true that that's what that's like. And yeah, maybe that is us trying to foster a family outside of just us as well.
We do talk about that notion of extended family. You know, we are in loco parentis, but we think of ourselves as those uncles and aunts. And Anna always says it's that person who at a wedding will be the one that's down on the floor playing with the children. They're the ones that we want to include in our team.
And they don't have to be the most qualified or the brightest, or they just have to have that passion and the want to be with the children, not overseeing the children.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Yeah. I mean, for me, you talk about your staff feeling that, but it sounds really silly, but I think we feel that. And I know that we don't work for you, but actually,
do you want a job?
David knows that we've already spoken, haven't we, David, that I'd like to come back to practice and do a week or so, and I know that you've offered for me to come down, haven't you, David? And
you're very welcome.
You know, I don't know whether you'd be able to put up with me, but you know,
of course we would, Aaron.
But I think what's really, really important here is that you've given, you know, at a time when lots of people were going through really tough times, you know, quite recently over, you know, I'm going to mention it, the coronavirus, you gave out that, you know, people actually felt that warmth from you. And it was really, really, it was really lovely to see. Let's be honest here, you supported so many people, not just your own staff, but you've actually been an advocate for the workforce as well, and come at it from a kindness, you know, very much kindness at the heart. Would you agree?
Well, it's very humbling. I mean, you know, we do is share what we've got and hope that helps other people. So, you know, it's gratifying to know that that has been helpful.
Yeah.
Take it, David, is what I'm trying to say. Take it, and Anna, take it, because I honestly, you know, I'm lucky to speak to people on social media, and I'm part of large groups, and everybody has said how kind and supportive you have both been over the past 12 weeks. So I'm going to say thank you for that, because I think it's really, really important. And thank you.
I am married to a very kind man. I do know that.
Ah, that's lovely. That's lovely. Yeah. So it's so lovely to hear. So we're going to move on to question number two. Right. So, David and Anna, I know that you do so much for children and families in Southampton. And I think I'm right in saying that you run a charity. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Could you tell us a little bit about that, and please tell us how you fit all of that in as well, because that's really, really...
I'll tell you about the fit it all in. It's because he's married to a very supportive woman who allows... seriously, I think what it is people always talk about life-work balance. We don't really have a life-work balance. This is our life. Would you say that's right, love? So now you can say all the things.
So I think what we tend to do is you know, we do the things that we need to do, but we also do the things that are our passion, and we combine those with our life. So there isn't a sort of 9-to-5 job in early years. I think everybody's probably aware of that. And if it's your passion, then it's something that you pursue. And particularly because, as Anna's already outlined, you know, we are aware of how precious children are. We feel that that is true for all children, both in this country and internationally. And therefore, if we can make a difference in the life of one child by being with them, then that's a benefit for them. But also we realise that, you know, we have a wider influence, both locally, nationally and internationally as well. And so as far as paint pots goes, we've realised that over time, you touch a child, you touch their family, and you see that there are needs beyond that. And there is only so much we can do with our team within the constraints of the finances and the time that we've got available. And we realise that actually there's a lot more need that needs looking at. So we started a charity called Families First Southampton. And the name, you know, encapsulates families' needs, but it's also local because we wanted to make sure that it was meeting the needs in our locality. And we employ an outreach worker, Nigel, who used to be a social worker and was a tree surgeon at some stage. And he's very good at working with individuals to sort out their needs, and he's done some remarkable things. So we're a very small charity. But we make a difference. So he works with dads, particularly dads who are looking to have access to their children, supporting dads to get back into work, supporting dads through the court system to get access and to build relationships with their children. Because we know that all the research says that even if dads aren't in the home, having access with their children is hugely important in their lives. Beyond that, we want to bring dads and mums together if possible. So he does things like Lego clubs, and they're open to all carers, you know, regardless of gender.
And kinship carers now.
Yeah, and latterly we've got some funding for kinship carers. So grandparents who've got custody of their children or guardianship. And supporting them with benefits, with you know, just parenting skills and so on.
And then we're trustees of a charity in supporting abandoned babies in Kenya, and David's been there a few times now and taken some of our team, haven't you?
Yeah, we took three of our team there last year, and that was quite a life-changing experience for them. They're still talking about it now. And it gives you a perspective, you know, worldwide. You know, Aaron, you're involved. You've been to the World Forum, and just to lift your head above where you are and see what's going on in the rest of the world, you know, really changes your outlook, doesn't it?
And we do some work for another charity that provides antenatal classes for preparing parents for the changes that they have in their life when they have children. So we're trying to do that before they make any of the mistakes that we made.
I think I'm blown away. I'm just absolutely blown away. I just, you know, when I talk to you, I mean, it's mostly David that I talk to, and you know, but we've been on Zoom calls together, and you know, and we've just focused so much on, you know, your business, but actually it's much bigger than that, isn't it? Your business and you two are really kind of encapsulating what early years and early childhood is about here. It's about making that difference. And
I hope so.
Blown away. I'm absolutely blown away by it. Well done, both of you. It's so humbling to speak to somebody who actually, you know, I understand that paint pots is your bread and butter, but you're giving so much back to the community as well. And I just love that. I just think it's really powerful.
Good.
Thank you.
It's all right. And you did mention the World Forum, David. So just for people who are listening, what is the World Forum? Because even though it's not a question, I think it's quite important that people know what that is.
So the World Forum is a charitable organization registered in America, and it was originally started by Roger and Bonnie Neugebauer, and it's a really democratic organization that brings together people from the West and people from developing countries, and it really ensures that those that representation is able to be there from across the world and to attend the conferences, which happen every other year, is a really powerful experience in terms of understanding and connecting with people from different cultures, from different backgrounds, and, you know, different needs. You know, when you've sat listening to somebody from Nepal who's dragged children out of houses that have been destroyed in the earthquakes and who've lost their parents, it's very powerful. It really gives you a perspective on the issues that we have locally, you know. And similarly, people who've working in refugee camps from children from Syria and so on. You know, we are part of a global network that is advocating for children across the world. And, you know, what we have in our country, we take for granted quite often. And I think we have to reflect on that. And the World Forum helps you do that. But it also builds a network that is really powerful to give you a wider perspective.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I came last year, didn't I, David, to the Macau, and we actually met at the was it the airport? And
yes, it was Hong Kong.
We were both absolutely shattered from what I can remember. We still managed to get a beer in, but don't tell Anna. But actually, what was really powerful about the World Forum, it was my first time, and I have to say, everything you've just said, I would mirror, and that realization of how we take things for granted here is definitely a message that I came back with, because some children don't even have running water. You know, we are being, you know, realistic here. So it's just really, really powerful. And even just listening to the practitioners from the world is so motivating. So I agree. It's fantastic. And I'm hopefully going to join you next April, actually, in Canada, so that'll be quite exciting. So, David, obviously you've talked very much about the positionality, haven't you, of the child, really? And I think it's really important that we, you know, you want to talk about that human relationship, don't you? About you know, that child, really, the human relationship. So could you tell me a bit about what you mean? How do you actually embed that child-centered approach within Paint Pots?
He's pointing at me now.
Oh.
Well, I suppose we've got a motto that we use at Paint Pots, which is love, laughter and learning. And I think that encapsulates what we think is really, really important. And in fact, a few years ago, we did Investors in People at Nursery, and someone said that motto runs through all of our team like words through a stick of rock. And I've always remembered that, and I felt, you know, really, well, I was really pleased that that is what they did do. What I am really worried about is that childhood seems to be squeezed from both ends, that childhood ends much quicker than it used to, and I really think we have to fight hard to protect childhood for our children today and the ones of tomorrow as well.
And the way we see love, laughter and learning is very much as a pyramid along the lines of Maslow, that unless that love is there as the foundation for all that we do, we can't progress with children's development. And that laughter has to be there. We want our team and our children to enjoy every day. Mm. You know, if we give the example of where we are with COVID at the moment, the fact that we're supposed to be keeping children in groups separate from one another could kind of make you completely paranoid about your whole day. You know, has that child touched a another child or an object that another child's touched, and therefore the rate of transmission could possibly have gone up. We can't live our lives like that. We have to be free to be ourselves and express ourselves. And you know, that is hugely important in children's lives. And we've seen that over the last week or so since we've come back. And learning comes out of that. And, you know, so that is a very child-centered, child-focused pedagogy that we have.
And when we when I first came up with that 28 years ago, because I was here first, just in case. I was told off by the local authority, and they said the triangle should be the other way around and the learning should be the major part. And I really argued at the time, but now other people seem to have caught up with that idea.
Yeah, I think that's been validated.
Yeah, so it's all right. Yeah. I was ahead of my time just a bit.
Yeah. Well, do you know, Anna, take it. That's what I say.
Yeah,
Because David would take you, wouldn't you, David?
I would. But I think, you know, on a serious level, you have to be confident in your beliefs. You have to know what you believe, why you believe it, and be confident and assertive, because we're advocating for children, aren't we? And, you know, to be browbeaten by somebody who has an opposing view isn't helpful to children.
No. And I think it's really important that we understand that what happens in Southampton, for example, might not be the right approach in Birmingham. And it's really, really important that that relationship that you've kind of talked about or highlighted I wouldn't say it's unique, but it works for you, for your children, for your families. Mm. And it's a little bit like Reggio, really, isn't it? You can't pick Reggio up and bring it to inner city Birmingham. There might be some aspects of it, but true Reggio belongs in Reggio. So, you know, there are some similarities, but we have to. I'm a great believer in, you know, what might work down in Southampton might not work up here in Birmingham, but there are some things that we can take away from that. And that's why I love what you're doing, because I just think everything that you're trying to actually achieve is the child-centered practice, specifically through paint pots. And I just think that's really, really important.
And yeah, we completely agree with that. And we would say the same across our organisation. We've got 10 settings plus an out-of-school club. But what happens in each one of those every day is entirely dependent on its context in terms of you know, the community it's serving, the staff team,
the building
itself, and the cohort of children. And that can change throughout the year. You know, it's meeting the needs of those children in their culture and their individual needs.
But giving every single one of them the love and laughter is a given, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not.
I think the relationship is the core element of that.
You know, you're treating each other as unique, aren't you? You're treating them as unique, and that's what you do. It flows through, and that, you know. And I just think it's your motto is something that at the moment is probably so prevalent to what we need. I wonder if that could be spread out. Let's hope the education secretary might take it on and tell everyone to do the paint pots.
Anna should have trademarked it, shouldn't she?
I should have.
Okay, so obviously I honestly don't know how you do it all. I know you've said that this is your life. You know, everything that you've just talked about is your life. But you have been a really strong advocate throughout the last 12 weeks. Specifically for, you know, I know being on those calls that Anna and David, you've both been getting your other providers in your local area contacting you, you know, because they're interested to see what you're doing. So, you know, how do you fit all of that in? But what's most important, what really motivates both of you? What is it that motivates you?
I think over time you become confident in who you are and what you do. And as I said earlier, you can make a difference in the life of an individual child, but you can also talk about your experience and, you know, what's you know, we never preach to anybody. We never say this is the way to do things, but we can say this works for us. Mm. And if that's helpful for someone else, we would always want to do that. So we're not precious about anything we do. No. But if so, if it's going to be of use to somebody, we want to do that.
It also really matters what's happening yes. in the setting up the road, because they are the children of Southampton, and I'm really anti the, oh, we're preschool, so we don't want to talk to day nurseries, or we're maintained yeah. and we're private. Actually, yeah. we are all looking after precious children, and I can learn from you, and you can learn from me. And yeah, I think yeah. that's what we need to do. And actually, this horrible situation we're all in at the moment has made people more willing to share, I think. We've sent out our policies left, right and centre, and we've stolen ideas and magpied things from other people. And yeah, I think that's not a bad thing.
Yeah,
it's absolutely. Definitely united. I think it's definitely united us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or, but what motivates you? Really, really, really motivates you? What is it that motivates you?
I think we just want to make a difference in people's lives. You know, you always, there's always that thing, what would you want written on your gravestone? Which is kind of a sobering thought, isn't it? But actually, you know, wouldn't you want people to say, you know, they were kind people, they helped yeah. us in some way, yeah. you know, rather than, oh, they just kept themselves to themselves and didn't bother about anybody else.
Yeah, and yeah, if we yeah. go right back to the beginning bit, when I said the things that happened to us, when yeah. they did happen to us, we made the conscious decision that those things would not define us, yes, and yes. that we would turn what was awful things to the good.
Yeah, I think what Anna's saying is that you're shaped by experience,
but not defined. Yeah, yeah, that's
the, you know, one of the questions is, what's the worst that could happen to you? Well,
it already has.
Arguably, it has happened to us.
So now,
and you're a different person from there on in. You know, it isn't about pursuing your own aims, your own ends selfishly. It's about, how can we help other people, and how can we make the world a better place? Which sounds
we can't do everything, but we can all do a little something, yeah. and we're doing our little something, aren't we?
We hope so.
Yeah.
I think one thing I will say is that you definitely are, you know, love and laughter and spreading that kindness that we all need. And I, you know, I see some of your posts, David, on social media, and I think you hold true to what you say. There isn't any, you know, there isn't any nastiness or aggression. It all comes from a place of kindness. So, you know, it's so lovely to hear that when you're talking about the ethos, that that's also followed through on everything that you do. So well done. So we know you as Mr. and Mrs. Paintpots. But what makes you tick when it comes to the early years? What you know, now that could be a tick as a bad thing, and you might want to talk about a bad thing, or what makes you tick as a good thing? But what we know you as Mr. and Mrs. Paintpots, but what really makes you tick when it comes to the early years?
I think that for me, the best thing about everything we do is being with the children. Yeah. I am a child at heart, and actually spending time on the floor with children, engaging in their world, is just the yeah. best thing. And to see those children develop into, you know, the people that they're going to become and be a part of their lives is an absolute privilege and a joy. Yeah. And, you know, that's it for me. And if you can change a child's trajectory through life and, you know, break an intergenerational cycle or whatever it is, so that they become the person that they could be rather than what's set for them, I think that is the best thing.
And I suppose we will never ever know how important we have been. We don't know if we're the only person that has actually said something nice to a child that day, or yeah. been respectful towards them. We don't always know that, do we? And we may never know it, but it is something that's really really important.
To start to cry.
Oh no.
It's okay. It's fairly normal.
Good. You've sorted it.
Yeah.
I think it's, you just don't know.
And no, you don't.
And I think at a higher level, you know, if you provide some training for somebody that means they can do that, or you support someone or facilitate them or share some of your policies or knowledge or experience with them, and that makes a difference, then you're sharing that wider, you know, and that's the wonder of it all, isn't it, really?
Or even that you're giving parents peace of mind. Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing too, isn't it? You know, a lot of parents wouldn't choose necessarily to go out to work, but are doing it because they need to. They need to know that you're doing the best job that you can and that you generally want to be with their children.
I just think it's so warming that if you were a parent, you know, listening to you two now, you know, to me, and I mean, I'm not a parent, so I can't, you know, advocate for what parents feel, but, you know, I've worked in the early years a long time, and I think that it's so reassuring that there are people out there that are going to love those children as much as their parents do.
But don't you think you can be in a parental role without having given birth to that child? I do. I think I see some people that do more of the parenting than the person who's given birth to the child. And that, anyway.
So. No, I agree. And I mean, it was the best. I've got to say that, you know, like I say, I'm not a parent, but you do make that attachment, don't you? And you know, you love every single one of them. You know, when I was a nursery teacher, you know, the parents used to, you know, it sounds silly. I mean, I said this in one of my things that I did for Jules, you know, on the early childhood theorists.
Yeah.
And I used to be the nursery teacher, and there used to be me and a teaching assistant. And then back then there was a nursery nurse. And that every single child used to come in, and I mean, I was tall compared to them. They would cling onto my legs, and you know, all the parents said that's what's powerful, that they could know, leaving their children, that their children came and hugged me and showed that love, and that's powerful. I'm not gonna lie, I gave them a hug too, because it's important that, you know, if they want it, it goes back to what you said, Anna, that could be the only hug they had that day, so it's really, really important. And what you've described is Bronfen and Brenner's ecological model, Anna. And actually, what's really, really important is we know, because research and outcomes do show us that actually what you put in at the beginning does actually make a massive difference to a child's life throughout and even into adulthood as well. Yeah. So we know that. We know that what you're doing is making that difference. Obviously, this isn't a question, but I think it's really, really important. David, you've written a book, haven't you, about men in the early years?
Yep.
Which has been fantastic. And are we expecting to see anything else from you in the near future?
I've had a couple of requests to write some chapters for a couple of books. So one one's still out, and I'm going to hear in the next week or so whether that's going to be taken up. But the other one I'm definitely writing, and I'm going to do something on adverse childhood experiences and trauma-informed care.
Brilliant. That's really, really exciting. And I think we need to hear those voices very much from research-led, you know, practice research, really, that we need to hear the people on the ground, because I just think that's so powerful. So this is the last question, and it's the same question I ask everybody. If I could grant you three wishes, what would they be?
Okay, I'll do number one. we'd really like some stability. You know, after all we've been through in the last 3 months, we're just kind of tired, really, and it's relentless. We've described it as the corona coaster. So it's up and down in terms of everybody looking to you for leadership, everyone looking to you for all the answers, which we don't have. And it doesn't let up. And I think that's probably part of leadership in general, but particularly running an organization that we're the owners of. You know, we're beholden to over 900 parents and 160 team. And that's quite a challenge, and it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop at weekends. It doesn't stop in evenings. And we just like something to be stabilised and be able to go forward and know where we're going. And that's not likely to happen in the near future.
Okay.
I've got number two. Number two is that we'd like some recognition of the value of what we do. You know, the responsibility that each of us carry that work in early years and the difference that each of us can make. You know, I actually play a game with people sometimes, you know, when you're in a dinner party, what do you do for a living? And I always say, oh, I work in childcare, and I can almost see them switching off. And later on in the conversation, when, you know, they'll say what sort, and I'll say, oh, we own 10 child. Oh, and then all of a sudden they're interested. And I'm so annoyed by that, because the important bit is the first sentence. I work with children, not the fact that we've got 10 settings. That isn't it. So I'd like that recognition for me and our teams.
And the last one is we'd like more love, laughter, and kindness and compassion in the world. You know, I just think the world is a very anxious place right now.
And a bit angry.
There are reasons for that, obviously. But I think we just all need a huge dose of that kindness, that compassion, that love, and some laughter.
Yeah.
It would be really good.
That includes wives, doesn't it, David?
Do you know what's so lovely is we've got each other as well, and I suppose that in itself is so lovely that you're both on the same page. I'll go back to what you said, Anna, about that recognition, and I mirror that, really. You know, I remember being a level 3 nursery nurse. You know, my recognition didn't really happen until I became a qualified teacher, and that's something that, you know, and David knows because he's on the executive board, and that's all going to start kicking off soon. About the Early Years Academy and giving people that professional recognition. So
it's going to be fantastic, Aaron.
It is. And I think it's, you know, and what's going to be nice, Anna, is you're going to be able to sit there and say, well, actually, I'm Anna, who works in childcare. And I'm a fellow of the, you know, and it sounds really silly, but actually people will start noticing that. And that recognition is the power that we want, and that actually lots of people have been asking for. So we're working on it, and obviously it's great to have David as the executive, and I'm sure Anna's voice will come through, won't it, David? to the academy.
Yes, it will.
Buy one, get one free.
Oh, good. Well, do you know, that's brilliant. That's really good to know. So that leads us to the end of the podcast, guys. And from the bottom of my heart, I just want to say thank you, because
thank you, Aaron.
You know, I honestly haven't met the most two nicest people than you two guys. And I'm being serious. And David knows I say things as they are. Sometimes put my foot in it. But honestly, it's been a very moving podcast, and from me to you, thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you soon.
Bye.